Good morning, all. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Then if you would, turn over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." God, I ask you for your blessing on this sermon this morning, that it will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Charles Spurgeon said, "The heart of the gospel is redemption. And the essence of redemption is the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. They who preach this truth preach the gospel, however else they may be mistaken. But they who preach not atonement, whatever else they should declare, have missed the soul and the substance of the divine message. God's love, mercy, holiness, and justice are dramatically seen in the cross. An understanding of Christ's work of atonement and the light it sheds on the character of God should motivate us in every dimension of our Christian lives. This morning we're going to look at an aspect of Christ's work, the fact that he redeems. When we think of Christ's work on the cross, we usually think of four aspects: propitiation, sacrifice, redemption, and reconciliation. These are all facets of his one work of atonement, and these ideas, they overlap each other. However, it's helpful to examine these different facets of his work in order to appreciate fully what has been done for us. This morning, I want us to focus on Christ's work of redemption. The main idea of Christ's work of redemption is that he delivers us from slavery or bondage. He does this by offering himself as the payment price for what is due from the lawbreaker. Christ's work of atonement was a work of redemption. In Matthew 20:28, the idea of ransom contains the concept of Christ redeeming us from something. Christ offered up his sacrificial death in the place of others. Let's look back at Matthew 20:28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Then let's look over Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. Matthew 26, 28. "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus was stating that deliverance from sin was not only an issue of power, but that which required the payment price for forgiveness. The same idea is found in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Then in Revelation 5, 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Here the Greek agorazo word group is used for redemption, purchase, or ransom. This is commercial terminology of the marketplace, which emphasizes the same truth we've been considering, that Christ's work of redemption entails a payment price. When a ransom is paid, there is a payment that is made. Let's look over at Revelation 14, 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 14, verse 3 and 4. "And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who have been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes. These have been redeemed for mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb." 144,000 is symbolic of all the elect of God. The elect of God are the redeemed or the purchased ones. Look with me at a couple of other passages that sets forth this idea of Christ actually purchasing the elect of God in his work on the cross. Romans 3, 24 and 25. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. "And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins." Propitiating redemption. The four aspects of Christ's work of propitiation, sacrifice, redemption, and reconciliation, as I said before, that they overlap each other. In Ephesians 1:7, it's in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Now let's look at Acts 20:28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Christ obtained or purchased the church with his own blood. Closely related to this is John 6, 37 through 39. John 6, 37 through 39. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." Jesus said a group of people were given to him by the Father, and he will give eternal life to these people. That's another way of saying that the elect of God were given to Christ to redeem. Let's look at John 17, 2. John chapter 17, verse 2. "Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Christ purchased for God out of the mass of fallen man the people given to him by the Father, the elect of God. The design of the atonement had a specific focus toward the redemption of God's elect. Christ's work of redemption is an accomplished work. In every instance in Scripture, the Greek aorist tense is used to describe Christ's redemptive work at the cross. A punctiliar past tense is used, which emphasizes that Christ's work actually procured or purchased everything needed for the deliverance of those for whom he died. I've emphasized this point because many Arminian theologians construe the redemptive work of Christ in terms of deliverance by power without the purchase price of Christ's blood. This is done because they want to escape the force of Christ actually accomplishing redemption for the elect of God. They want to affirm that Christ's work actually saved no one, but merely made salvation possible. It is simply a potential atonement, not an actual work. To hold that position is to take a stand against the New Testament teaching concerning the nature of Christ's redemption. It puts the atonement in a category of potentiality in which Christ's work is not an accomplished salvation. James White, when he was here in 2000, said, "I'm offended by the proclamation of a Savior who needs our permission to save." A little boy, he lived in New England, and he loved to watch the fishing boats as they come in from their daily catch. One day he decided to build himself a toy sailboat. He worked for weeks to make sure every detail was just right. Finally, he took it down to the wharf and he put it in the water. At first, he watched and his boat sailed perfectly. But then the wind shifted and his boat was swept down the shore and out of sight. For the next few days, he combed the shore trying to find his boat. A couple of weeks later, he was in town and he saw his boat in a store window. He ran into the store and he told the clerk that the boat was his. The clerk responded by saying that the boat would now cost him $2. After pleading with the clerk to no avail, the boy pulled out his money and he bought the boat. As the boy was leaving the store, he said, "Little boat, you are mine twice. You are mine because I made you, and now you are mine because I bought you." God created us, but man fell into sin. Christ has redeemed or purchased us with his cross work. If you're in Jesus, like the boat, you belong to God twice. He is your creator and he's your redeemer. As Peter said, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." The purchase of the elect of God has a Godward focus. Let's look again at Revelation 5, 9. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation.'" Then Matthew 20, 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Then Acts 20, 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. All of these mention the idea of Christ obtaining or purchasing the elect, or giving his life a ransom for many. This raises the question, to whom does Christ pay the purchase price or the ransom for his people? Many early and medieval church fathers, such as Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, Origen, Jerome, even as late as Bernard, held that Christ's death was ransom that was paid to Satan, who then released his hold on God's elect. The view, because of lack of scriptural support, gradually disappeared. To whom was Christ's death as a ransom paid? The scriptural answer is that it was paid to God, whose holiness and justice has been offended by man's transgression of his law. All of the scriptures that deal with redemption have a Godward direction or focus. The sacrifice of Christ was paid to God. His propitiatory work was directed toward God, as was his work of reconciliation. The same is true with redemption. Anselm, in arguing against the idea that Christ paid a ransom to Satan, said, "As God owes nothing to the devil but punishment, so whatever was deemed for man, he owes to God and not to the devil." Christ paid the debt we owe to God. He was perfectly righteous in his life, and he took the curse of the lawbreaker on the cross. John Murray writes, "God appeases his own holy wrath in the cross of Christ in order that the purpose of his love to lost man may be accomplished in accordance with and to the vindication of all the perfections that constitute his glory." Do you realize that if you're in Christ, that you belong to God? You've been bought with a price. Paul makes an ethical application of this in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. That since you are bought with a price and belong to God, you're to glorify God in your body. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." We can extend this application to the totality of our lives, that we are to glorify God in every aspect of our lives. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 1, "What is the chief end of man?" Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Charles Spurgeon said, "A good old saint was lately lay dying, told her pastor that she was resting in the justice of God. The good man thought that she had chosen a strange point of the divine character to rest on. But she explained, 'I rest in his justice to my great substitute, that he would not let him die for me in vain.'" Do you believe in Jesus alone for your salvation? If you do, you can never be condemned. God's justice against you because of your sin has been fulfilled completely in Christ's work. If you're in Christ and you struggle with guilt over past sins, believe God's promise in Scripture that he's faithful and he's just to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The promise is based on Christ's perfect and accomplished work. Christ redeemed or purchased you for God, and you belong to him. God, we thank you that we do belong to you. We thank you that Christ purchased us with his own blood. And we give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.